know the one who made the stars. I met him on the bathroom floor when everything was torn apart. Didn't know what I was living for. I almost gave up. I almost gave up. You met me in the mess I made and told me I was meant for more. You pulled me out of my mistakes and led me through that open door. That's when I woke up. That's when I woke up. Yeah. My sin is gone.
Morgan. Bubbling inside of you, spilling over cause your life is full. How incredible, undeniable, monumental like the Eiffel. Uncontrollable, let the joy flow through. Ha ha. Giddy over pity, pretty please. Let me see your hands in the air with you at your seats. Warm it up, let go, shout it out, celebrate. When you can't articulate, just say amazing grace.
The second you realize what you have inside, it's only just a matter of.
Kia ora, welcome to Faith Matters. We've played a couple of songs before we've actually said hello. I'm going to put you on, Denise. Denise is here.
Good afternoon.
It is afternoon, just by 11 minutes, now 12. Okay, so how is everybody out there? It is a beautiful, beautiful day. How can anything be wrong on a day like today? But, Okay, we won't go into that one. But we do have some chats we're going to get into. We're going to talk about even if today. It starts out with a what if, and then it moves into an even if. So that's going to be interesting, isn't it? This is one of Denise's blogs on her Facebook page, which is under, have you changed it?
The website is denise.nz.
Right.
Facebook page, you have to spell my surname right. So you Which can click through to it. You can click through to the Facebook page from the website. So
right.
You just go www.denise.nz. Boom.
You should there be you in. Are. There you are. So we're going to talk about one of her blogs. I've really enjoyed this one. I think this one will leave us a lot of food for thought, you know. Sometimes we can say what if when we should be saying even if. So let's go into that a little bit, Denise. Shall we go into a song first or shall we?
Whatever you like.
Let's do it. Tell me about this blog. What started this particular one off for you?
I actually got an email through from somebody who works a lot with language and just being really intentional about what you speak. And she just had this phrase in there about what if being fear-based language versus even if being faith-based language. Mm. And I just started to kind of compare, what if it's raining today, or even if it's raining today, it completely has a different feel about it. So I started sort of exploring the words over the course of a week and just sat with them and went, actually, this is quite powerful. So I did a blog a few weeks ago about do I have to do this or do I get to do this? And I had lots of feedback from people afterwards saying, actually, that was really helpful. And I thought this what if, even if concept might also be really helpful for people to have a mindset shift.
Yeah, and it is a mindset shift. Mm-hmm. Got to get that word right. because a what if... is about, well, we're expecting something maybe not good to happen. You know, what if this happens? What if that happens? You know, if I cross the road, what if I get run over? What if a truck comes around the corner? if I go to the supermarket and go and buy something, what if I don't have enough money to pay for it?
Yeah.
You know, the what ifs has kind of like got a fear based almost attached yes. to it, or yep. a concern attached to it.
Mm. And so you kind of limit yourself. Well, what if this happens? Well, then I'm not going to be able to do these things. Whereas the even if mindset is like, even if, you know, even if I don't have enough money to get all of these bits, well, I can get the ones that, you know,
that I really need.
And, you know, even if I don't have a lot of time this week, I'm still going to get these things done because I need to focus on those. Or the one I was thinking as I was writing it, oh, this could come back to bite me. I can just imagine now my family, because I'm probably actually naturally a what-if person.
Right.
And so, like, I'm well known if I'm on the dance floor, I will usually just stand there, and I enjoy being there, but I really, I'm not very good at moving. And so I'm like, I could just see my kids or my husband just going, even if you're embarrassed, you get moving. It's like, no.
I don't want it. You can't make me.
So it's a challenge for myself as much as it is a challenge for anyone else, that concept of, you know, whatever comes my way, even if this thing happens, you know, I'm going to stand firm, or I'm going to be hospitable, or I'm going to be generous, or, you know, even if I don't have a lot, I can give of what I do have. Or, you know, all these different things that we limit ourselves, and actually it can be an opportunity for creativity and for growth and for thinking of things in a different way instead
Absolutely.
Of shutting us down.
I like the bit in your blog where you talked about, you know, there was a crocheting blankets for the homes or something, you know. And even if it costs me, you still do it, you know what I mean? Like, even though there's a cost to it, the other benefits of what you're doing outweigh that cost. So, and my mum was one of those. She was, she used to crochet blankets for the old people's home, and she was always crocheting these granny squares and you know, looking for wool, and she'd go to secondhand shops and, you know, get old jerseys and pull them apart and collect all the wool. And I know it was a huge process.
That's creative.
I'm not sure that you know, I mean, I used to drop some of the blankets off to homes, but, you know, I'm not sure that she would was ever recognised for any of the work that she did.
Yeah.
You know, but it didn't matter to her, because the pleasure she got from it, knowing what was where these were going, was enough, I think, for her. So there was no – it was costing her.
Yeah.
But even if it costed, the benefits from what she got back from that, I think, were – it was more than what the what if was, you know.
But interesting, because she might not have even seen the impact of them. And I think there's, you know, you could do piggy squares and things and give them to the is it ICU for prem babies as well. There's different places that you can donate to, and you might not ever see those families that, that benefit from what you do. And I guess that's the thing. What when we think, oh, maybe I should be helping in this area, or I could be helping in this area, and go, oh, no, because it's not going to give me payback. Like, a lot of people do actually consider that's a real thing for them, of whether or not I'm going to be recognised. So are people going to see that? Is anyone going to say thank you?
Yeah.
Well, even if no one says thank you, will you do what you feel like you need to be doing anyway?
Yeah. So, I'm trying to think of some times when I've done an even if instead of a what if, probably many, many times. but I, what kind of came to mind was when I was a teenager working up in Auckland on Rosebank Road in Henderson, I think. That's the area. There was, we didn't really have homeless people then. We didn't really see them on the streets. And I used to catch the bus to work every day. And I used to see this homeless man, going through the rubbish, rubbish bins. And it just greatly disturbed me. And I had heard from other people that he wouldn't take money, or he wouldn't take food from anybody. And so I knew that trying to give him something that wasn't going to, he would have just walked away. And so I had this thing that I used to I'd go into the dairy every morning and buy a filled roll, and then I would break it in half, and then I'd put money in the bag, and then I'd put it in the rubbish bin.
Oh, that is creative right there. Wow.
And I used to see him going through the rubbish, and hopefully before I left on the bus, you know, I'd see him, and there was the odd time I knew he'd picked up my what I'd put in there, but I wasn't there long enough to see what the reaction was or anything like that. I was just always hopeful that the filled roll, he got it and he got the money, you know. And that was kind of an even if for me. Like, it was a even if it's costing me, or even if nobody sees it, or even if he didn't pick it up.
Yeah.
The fact is that it pained me, for one, to see him on the street, and it was my only way of doing something without it being overly obvious. And, you know, even though there was a cost to that, the sense of what I got back for and caring for him from at a distance was greater for me.
Well, yeah.
Because I felt like I was doing something, you know, even though I wasn't sure he was receiving it. Even if he wasn't, somebody else was. Somebody else will find that money, or somebody else probably won't want the screwed up kind of filled roll that we used to, you know, get back then. I don't even know if you get that. Yeah, of course you do. Down at the bakery, I've seen the filled rolls. Yeah, of course you still get them. Not that old. Come on. So that's a even if. You know, I could have done a what if. You know, what if he doesn't get it? You know, what if that money's wasted? You know.
Absolutely.
I don't even know what other what if there is, but it wasn't a what if. It was an even if. And I think I've done that a lot over my life, like especially with homeless people. I'm quite I can be quite generous, even if it costs me.
Yeah.
And even if it annoys other people, like I'll give money, and I've heard people go, oh, you don't give homeless people money, they're going to spend it on drugs and alcohol. And I'm like, who are you to say where they're spending money? You know, and I've actually given quite a bit away over my years. And I've never gone, oh, you can't spend it on this. You know what I mean?
There are
no strings attached. I just get a sense of joy. You do what you like with it. It's yours. The choices are yours. Some people would find that offensive, like you're feeding a problem, but I don't think so. I don't think they get that kind of generosity all the time. So it's not a... I think it's nice to bless people and show kindness, even if it costs us.
Yeah, that's the challenge, isn't it? And when you've made that decision in your own mind, and you're willing to, you know, even if it's wasted, I'm going to do it anyway.
Absolutely.
Well, then that's your, you know, you can do that out of that decision and stay sort of firm to what you've decided. And actually, if other people have a different opinion,
that'd be the what ifs.
That's their.
Well, what if that kid goes off straight to the alcohol shop and buys the alcohol? I'm like, and like, what do you? I mean, I'm not going to follow them around, am I? Like, that's ridiculous.
Would it be better that they did that or steal it?
Yeah, exactly. Or is it ours to even say what a person does once we give something over?
Yeah.
Because that's with strings attached. I don't like strings attached.
I know. I had a situation years ago where I saw a need, and so I was able to give into that situation, but I did it anonymously. And then I found out that they had other stuff going on that I didn't know about, and they were so grateful because it was enabled them to do this other thing that I didn't even know. And I sort of, there was a part of me that went, but I didn't give it for that, I gave it for this. And I just kept my mouth shut, and they were so excited and so blessed that they could do this thing that they just hadn't thought was possible. It's like, really? So I just actually went, thank you, Lord, because you were the one who prompted me to give in that setting. And I had no idea what the actual need was. I knew what I thought the need was. And so just that ability to give without strings attached is huge.
And I noticed, and I don't know if it was in this blog or your more recent one, you were talking about coffee shops who...
Oh, yeah, that was the more recent one.
The more recent one, yeah, where... just maybe speak into that a little bit, because that's kind of like people would be, you know... Even if it costs us a bit, there's something greater on the other side of that. So maybe tell us a little bit about what that was about.
Yeah, well, I've seen on Facebook different places, and I know I've heard, you know, random acts of kindness. You hear about random acts of kindness where people might go through the drive-thru and they pay for themselves and the person behind them. And then the next person comes up and goes, well, I'm not taking stuff for free. I'll pay for the person behind me. And so it becomes this chain of people paying for someone else. Well, what I've seen coming up a little bit is certain coffee shops, like they'll have a wall. So you can go in and pay for a meal and they'll print out the receipt that has the meal that's been paid for, and they just have a special place where you can put it up on the wall. And then if there's someone who needs a meal but literally can't afford it for whatever reason, or forgot their wallet that day or whatever reason, they can go to this wall and choose a meal and take it to the cashier, and the cashier will make it for them, or, you know, the chef will. And so that's the thing that seems to be happening around the place a little bit. And I just thought that's really cool, because it's, I think, a part of what I wrote this week was about it's really important that people keep their dignity. Like you can kind of give stuff thinking that you're helping, but actually it's not, the person doesn't, that's not their need.
Yes, and that can be a what if, like, well, maybe I got that a little bit wrong, but I was thinking, you know, when people do give you something, but there are, it's conditions are attached to that on how you are to use it.
Then it's not actually the blessing that it was supposed to be. Then it's like, oh, I have to do that.
Now I have to do it. Yeah, I've received a gift like that once. Was it really a gift? I'm not sure, but I know, it was a bit gnarly because, and we're talking many years ago, when I was a solo parent, and somebody, you know, generously, offered me some money for Christmas, but there was a condition attached to that. As long as I didn't spend it on, and I was like, "You're kidding me!" Like, he just said that to me, like, you know, a mother of. But it's really hard when you receive a gift, but somebody has almost an opinion of how that gift should be.
Yes.
And it changes the whole way you receive it.
When I was at uni, I did a first year law paper, and I can remember learning about when you give a gift, the ownership transfers from you who purchased the gift. It now becomes the property of the person that you gave it to. And I can remember actually coming back to someone who had given me something with strings attached and went, actually, in law, you no longer have any say over this. I had a particular person who's so generous, but there were so many strings. And it was so hard because I just didn't... you know, it didn't feel freeing when they gave me something. It was like, and I had to work through my attitudes with that, because I was like, oh, here we go again.
I love that, to work through our attitudes, because that's on both ends, the giver and the receiver.
Yeah.
If the giver is giving out of a place of with strings attached, they're still attached to that and the outcome of it, and as though it has some effect on them. Interesting, isn't it? But if you are giving with no strings attached, then the feeling of the gift is so much better.
Yeah.
Because there's no judgment. There's no, you know, sense of betrayal, I guess, for not doing it the way the giver wanted you to do it.
I had this situation once. I got given some maternity clothes when I was pregnant, and there was a lady in my antenatal class who really didn't have anything, and so I gave some of those clothes to her because I didn't need them as much. And the person who had given me those clothes said, well, I haven't seen you wearing them. And I was just like, well, actually, I gave some of them away. And this person demanded that I went back to this woman and take them back. Oh my gosh, it was humiliating. I was like, I am so
We're both
sorry.
Sitting here in shock, like, oh no, I can't believe that happened.
So I've been the receiver of enough gifts with strings attached that
gnarly.
I very specifically make the choice not to give things with strings attached now because it's awful.
I think that these are things we need to talk about because sometimes people don't recognise what a gift is.
Mm.
But I know somebody who understands the fullness of giving a gift, and that's in our faith. That would be, you know, our Heavenly Father, God, for one, the gift of His Son.
Yep.
And that's a really good gift to look at when we come to gift giving and no strings attached.
Exactly.
No matter who you are, what you've done, where you've been, or anything, the gift is free. And so we're going to talk about that little gift a little bit more, but we're going to head into a song first, and we'll be back.
Look at the birds, how free they fly. Look at the lilies growing so wild. No, they don't wonder if rain's gonna fall down, or if the sun will ever come on out. So I won't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's gonna worry about itself. I got about a million reasons to praise you. I got about a million stories to tell. To tell about gonna be good.
Going to be good. You're listening to Marie and Denise on Faith Matters 98.1 FM Raglan Community Radio. We're talking about what ifs, and
we've morphed into gifts.
Yeah, we've morphed into gifts, but what ifs, what was the other one? What if and even if.
Even if.
There we go. Even if and what if. We've looked at, we started looking at giving with no strings attached. So looking at it in the relationship to what if I give this and it's not used in the way I intended it, or even if I give this and it's not used in the way I intended it.
Yeah.
They are two different ways of looking at a gift or what we are giving. And that led me to, of course, in our faith, the ultimate gift and the ultimate way of looking at a gift is the gift that was given through Jesus coming to the earth and really being an example for us of how to live, but more than that, opened up God to us, you know, our Creator and our Father and the whole idea of life and the fullness of it, meaning in our natural and our spiritual being.
Mm. A lot of people kind of think, oh, I've got to get it together before I can even start to think about Jesus. But actually, the cool thing is that there's a verse in the Bible that talks about even while we were still sinners, even while we're still doing stuff wrong, even when we don't have it together, that Jesus still came and gave us this amazing gift of life. So, yeah, it's quite exciting when you sort of think, oh, yes, rather than trying to shut yourself down and think, oh, I can't come to him because I'm not ready to give up this. Isn't it all about rules? Don't I, once I follow Jesus, don't I have to do this and do this and do this? Well, it's not so much about rules, it's more about relationship. And so he's longing for us to come and be in relationship with him. And he's the one who's gone out of his way to give us the gift of life. So that's pretty special.
Yeah, so even if and what if. Okay, so looking at the gift and the receiver of the gift, like, you're right, it's not easy to come into our faith because often we have concepts around Christianity that keep us away from it, a lot of judgment or, not good enough. Have to change a whole lot of things to be a certain way.
Yeah.
There was a lot for me to get my head around because obviously I came in with a whole lot of stuff into my faith. But I didn't feel like that. I think that, you know, that's how I was seen by other people. I just thought I was just normal, like everyone else. And I think it wasn't until I got around understanding what faith is that I recognised a whole lot of things within myself that needed to adjust because it was going to be healthy for me.
Mm.
You know, it was healthier in my thinking or healthier in my feeling base or how I reacted to things around me if I took the time to know what Jesus, his nature and how he was with people, or how he responded. They gave me kind of little anchors to go to that I could adjust some things in me so that even if I didn't feel like I fitted, I still carried on because what was happening inside me was a good thing. You know, good things were happening.
Yeah.
So I want to say even though.
Yeah, well, even though is, yeah, it has happened.
Even though I didn't feel that I was in the right place, right, in my faith, because it felt foreign to me, even though I didn't feel that, as I unpacked myself and my faith, and that means all the things that were holding me back, and they started to drop off, everything just became freer around me. And it wasn't so, how do I want to put that, intensely adverse to change in myself.
Yeah.
You know, because it can be a scary thing when you recognise attitudes in yourself you can ignore it or you can take the time to adjust it.
Yeah.
Even if it's going to cost you, even if there's I don't even know the right word right now, Denise. Discomfort, there we go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, discomfort in the journey.
Mm. You know. Well, that's interesting because I grew up in a Christian household and, you know, from outside people looking in, they were kind of like, well, you're Miss Goody Two-Shoes, yet, you know, I still had issues with anger. I still had issues with different things. And it's for everybody's benefit if I can start to improve in those areas. And I actually went through, in 2007, we had a really tough year. And that, when I was at my lowest, when I no longer had it sort of in my head that I had it all together, when I kind of realised that I really didn't, that was when God was able to start working in my heart more, and that was when he started to soften some of those rough edges. Mm. And, you know, so potentially, you know, there might be people who kind of go, oh, you don't have it all together, but actually that's their issue. Just let them keep it as their issue. Mm. But, you know, God will be working in them too to soften their heart, that hopefully they'll come to a place where they're like, wow, okay, I need God in this moment because this is an area that I can't do it on my own. And I think sometimes when you've had brokenness and you know that you don't have it all together, you're actually in a better position because you know that you need to work on stuff or to change, and you actually are in a position, you're willing to do that.
Yeah, even if it's going to cost you something.
Yeah.
It's not a what if it costs me, what if it costs me this and what if it costs me that, and then I have to stop doing that and stop doing this, and then we get this idea that there is this perfect picture. And there really isn't a perfect picture. If there is, I'm not sure what it looks like.
Mm.
I think having a good heart is a good place to start.
Yeah.
And maybe from a good heart, your thinking may change as well.
Mm.
If we come from a place of care and compassion and is veer that way more than the judging and the... conditions that we can put on.
But that takes, I was one of those, now I look back and go, oh, awful teenagers who, you know, I'd look at, say, parents with young kids and I'd go, oh my gosh, if they'd just do this, this and this, then they'd have it all together and their kids would be fine. But then I had my own kids. I had kids relatively young and I realised you can't control these little ones. They have personalities of their own, and it was very humbling. And it grew me as a person because I realised, oh, these people were just doing their best. They were following patterns that they'd seen. And, to realise that actually we've all got weaknesses and we've all got areas to work on, that humbled me enough to stop being judgy. I was very judgy back in the day. But now I just sit back and I just marvel and I just look at people and go, wow, with your background or with what you know, you're doing fantastic and well done. Well done for keeping on going. Sometimes just that is enough.
Yeah.
But I didn't used to be that person. I used to, we do have jokes in my family about compassion and my lack of. But I really am growing in that area. But actually some of those areas of growing were not fun. It was some pretty hard times. And so, none of us. And so maybe if you're thinking of a person and you're like, oh, they were so judgy, well, perhaps they've actually grown and changed since that encounter. Maybe they're a different person now, because I know in my world I'm very different to what I used to be.
Yeah, and we do. Of course we develop and grow as time goes on, in our Christian walk. Well, I hope we do, Denise. I guess most of us do. Some people don't. And, you know, there's always going to be, I think, people that enjoy Christianity but perhaps don't fully take it on to mean anything in their own life. They just like the niceness
the external
of it.
Stuff. Yep.
Yeah, the external stuff, and it's very internal. Christianity is a very internal heart response that ends up being quite a head response as well, where you're in agreement, you know, and your body starts to agree, and then your spirit, you know, and once you're living in that agreement, even if things don't go well, it doesn't stop the I don't even know. Where I was going with that one.
You could even, I think, if you've been listening for a while, or you've heard other people talk about, you know, the impact that Jesus has had in their lives, and you go, "Well, but what if he tries to make me stop this, or what if he tries to make me stop this, or what if I get there and people are judgmental?" Well, perhaps again, flicking it. Even if people don't get it right, God's still a good God.
Amen. People are never going to get it right. Just human, aren't we?
Yeah. Well, even if he challenges me in this area, he will provide what I need to actually grow. Whether he brings people alongside you, whether or not he grows your skill set, like he's never just going to point a finger and go, change there. Yeah. There's always going to be the support and the what you need to grow and learn. And so actually you can see it as a positive thing, not as a negative.
I think too, like, what if we don't do any of that and we don't notice things within ourselves? you know, when we've only just got ourselves telling ourselves things or other people, you know, there's no spiritual concept is what I'm trying to say. When there's none of that going on, it can be very, I wonder where people get their wisdom from. Like, how do they know things outside of what they just know?
Yeah.
You know, where's the real wisdom? To me, that's a spiritual place. Yeah. It's not really our human wisdom because we're so fallible.
Yeah.
So, strings attached is what I'm thinking. Our wisdom can have strings attached.
Yep.
Get my needs met, or maybe that'll work for my favour. Or whereas a godly wisdom is far different because it's not about me based.
Yeah.
It's about the bigger picture, or maybe seeing outside whatever situation we're facing at the moment. There's a wiser words around it than what we might think about that. And I know that might not make sense. It may for somebody who's facing some things out there. The what ifs and the even ifs. What if this goes badly wrong? Even if this goes badly wrong, you know, there's kind of a smile attached to that one.
Yeah.
Because at least you tried.
Yeah.
You didn't do nothing.
Yeah. You know? That's right. No, I think, you know, there's the, and if you're unsure, I guess that even if mindset has a sense of courage behind it, has a sense of bravery, getting to the point, and it takes time. So you might be kind of thinking about, what about if I explore this God stuff? Well, what if, you know, what if I lose my friends? What if I, you know, what if I get kicked out of my family? What if these things happen? And I guess it takes time, actually, even for your mindset to shift to, okay, actually, I'm going to explore this, even if those things happen.
Yeah, for sure.
But the amazing thing about what Jesus did by sort of taking the punishment for all those things that everybody's done wrong ever is that it's available to us all equally. Doesn't matter what we've done, where we've come from, what our background is. It's there available, and all we actually have to do is receive and go, God, wow, you did that for me. Thank you. And, you know, if you don't know what that's about at all, well, you know, we have Surfside Church on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock. We meet at the school hall, and there are other churches, if that's not your style, that are around the Raglan area that you can go and ask questions. Because it's a bit, in a setting like this where we're talking to all and sundry, it's a bit, you know, hard to try and to pin down for a particular circumstance. But if you've got questions, find someone that you trust, that you know actually kind of has a relationship with Jesus, and, you know, ask them the questions.
Well, get yourself a Bible. That's a good place to start too. That's still one of the free books out there you can get. I don't know where from, but they're still out there. or look up online. You know, you can get your Bible online now.
Yes, true.
Scripture online. There's so many ways you can tap in. But I think relationship is always going to be the key when it comes to knowing God, Jesus, Holy Spirit. It's about your relationship with God, but it's also about relationship with each other in our in our natural form, in our humanness, you know, being able to connect with other people with the same understanding, or can tap into that wisdom that we're talking about, or the even ifs that other people might not understand so well.
I was just thinking with what ifs, like with that fear type mentality, one of the things I talked about in the blog was the difference between fear and danger. So we had a scenario at our house a number of years ago where there was a loose wire outside, and this girl, she's probably about 12-ish, she was actually dealing with anxiety. She was freaking out at home, thinking that there might be people looking in her window, and was really in a not good space. And anyway, she was at our house, but she touched this wire outside and got a shock from it. And so her sisters brought her in, and it was a bit, oh, this has just happened. And I just said to her, you know, there was a real danger there with a loose wire. Did you feel afraid? And she said, well, no, I didn't feel afraid. And I sort of talked to her about the difference between being fearful. So a lot of this what if fearful stuff is just in our head.
Mm.
So what if, you know, for her at home, what if people look in my window? Well, she hadn't had anybody look in her window. I think she'd just been watching some pretty scary stuff on TV at the time and just got a bit panicky about it. So I talked to her about the difference between, you know, we've got to identify what are actual dangers in life and what are just fears, things that we're just using as excuses sometimes for that what if. But what if such and such happens? What we're really saying is I don't really want to do that thing and I'm just making excuses. So that's, again, something we just need to actually make a decision and go, I say no, I'm just not going to do it, and I'm not going to make up excuses because I have assessed the situation and I'm not coming, or I'm not going to do that for whatever reason. You don't have to explain yourself.
Mm.
Or whether it's actual fears that you're just dreaming up and spending all your time in your head imagining all these terrible things that might happen, and it's not actually a danger, it's not a reality and not likely to happen, but you're living from that kind of panicky kind of place.
Mm.
So, yeah, that was helpful for her to go, oh, so my fear is different from a danger.
Yeah, and I was just, because that what if really is quite loaded, isn't it, when it comes to fear base.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wrote something down, fear locks us in the short term. And so what if this happens or what if that happens, you know, it is a short term kind of fear.
And it limits us and just puts the brakes on.
Yeah, well, it does. It'll stop us from doing anything. Mm. It'll actually keep us stuck in where we are.
Yeah.
So you might start with a what if, but you could move into an even if with a shift of mentality or maybe even a spiritual shift. What if this happens to even if this happens?
Yeah. I just had a random sidestep in my thinking. Sorry, I do that. Thinking right. If that generosity. So if we're being generous and we think, oh, but I don't have enough. A really interesting concept is the concept of sowing and reaping. So you plant a particular seed, and then in time that seed grows and develops fruit, and there's more seeds that are produced, so you can continue to sow the seeds and get this harvest. And I can remember someone years ago, so when I was young, I was the youngest of the family, so when my clothes or my shoes, when I grew out of them, in our house, we just took them to a community place or op shop or something like that and just gave them away. And it was interesting when I got older, because I just had all these clothes given to me. It was like I'd sewn my clothes and I got given all these clothes when I was older. And I can remember somebody talking about how this lady had been really generous with baking all her days. She'd made meals for people, and something happened to her when she was older, and they were kind of real miffed because she wasn't being provided for financially. And someone asked the question, but what about meals and that sort of thing? They're like, oh my goodness, meals. She's got people providing food for her left, right and centre. The food, like feeding herself, is not an issue, but we'd really like that maybe she could get provided some money for this or some clothing or some whatever. And someone just pointed out, but hang on, you sewed in the area of baking and food, and that's what you're now harvesting. And so sometimes when we've got this area that we're hoping to protect, and we might think, oh, I don't want to be generous here because I don't have much. Actually, counterintuitively, sometimes sharing and giving generously in that area actually can have a repercussion down the line that actually you may well be provided for in an area that was a struggle for you before. Mm. So when you're thinking, oh, I need to hold on to this and hold it tighter and tighter and tighter, even if you feel like there's not enough, if you start sharing and start inviting other people in or providing for people in the, even a very small way, you know, things can turn around.
I so agree. This is, and to me, you're touching on that spiritual part again, where it's the unknown, the unseen. We don't know what is happening in the ethereals, you know, when we do something out of an even if instead of a what if.
Yeah.
A what if is kind of wanting to grab towards myself, whereas an even if is like open hands. Even if this is going to go however way it goes.
Yeah.
Even if, you know. I think there's life in that. I think there's some sense of even mystery. The unknown, you know. And the spirit can be like that. Spiritual understanding can be like that. You know, the unknown. We don't know really anything. It's the unseen. But but what we do know is a sense of that goodness, or that sense that we get when we do something that our heart kind of swells in a really healthy way.
Yeah.
Not in an ego way, you know, or that's our head swelling.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but our heart swells because it feels amazing. You know, it's a love response.
Mm.
And it's like last week when I was talking about, I will continue to question, why do we keep moving away from good, you know, and move towards what's bad or what's not good, you know, and why do we have such difficulty moving towards what is good or doing good or even sitting in the feeling of good can be a hard place for people, like uncomfortable, awkward, weird, just kind of, you know. I'll keep questioning that because I don't have the answers. I just think it's our humanness, it's our human condition that we have to keep looking at and keep challenging, you know. What if, even if... I can't slay, all right? We're going to move into a song, and this is Hallelujah Anyway.
I'll find a way to praise you from the bottom of my broken heart, because I think I'd rather strike a match than curse the dark. Yeah, I'll find a way to thank you. Bitterness is real and hard, 'cause I'd rather take a chance on hope than fall apart. I don't think I'm ready to surrender to the dark, no. Even if my daylight never dawns, I won't forget you.
answer never comes, even if I'll fight to bring you praise.
Welcome to the planet. Welcome to existence. Everyone's here. Everyone's here. Everybody's watching you now. Everybody waits. What happens next? What happens next? I dare you to move. I dare you to move. I dare you to lift yourself up off the floor. I dare you to move. I dare you. Welcome to the fallout. Welcome to resistance. The tension is here. The tension is here. Between who you are and who you could be. Between how it is and how it should be. Yeah. I dare you to move. I dare you to move. I dare you to lift yourself up off the floor. Gonna go. Where you gonna run to now? Salvation is here. Ooh.
Well, here we are in the studio, Marie and Denise on 98.1 Ragland Community Radio, and we are having a conversation on faith matters. Today we're looking at what if and even if, and we've been talking about this even if concept, and actually we've been talking about the mindset shift that comes with even if, and sometimes life feels like it would be really a lot better if it was just easier, but sometimes challenges come up and we actually need to have that mindset of, even if this thing happens, actually I'm going to do the right thing, or even if I'm going to stick with it, or even if. And so you can have these positive outcomes. It's like a strengthening of character that happens as you actually make the call that, even if this stuff comes up, I'm still going to choose to do the right thing.
Yeah, right.
But then I was just talking with Marie off air, and that concept of what if, we've been talking about it from kind of a negative angle of that fear-based, but there's actually a positive, like what if you stood strong in that area and actually you had a breakthrough? What if you actually grew in that area? What if your character changed for the better? What if your family was restored? What if you were able to overcome that thing? What if someone stepped alongside you and helped you walk that way? There's all these positive what ifs that you can actually throw into the picture as well. It doesn't have to be all the negative side.
Yeah, and I think what if can lead to new ground. So, and new ground is it's the unknown. New ground. We don't know. New ground is somewhere we haven't stepped before. It's totally new. So we have no idea of what's going to happen. So yeah. I can't say anything more than that. It's just in the unknown. New ground is new ground. And if you want to step onto new ground, you have to make something happen. You have to make a movement. It can't be just a language that we use, there has to be an action involved in that. I'm a person who loves new ground. I love breaking ground, although I'm getting a bit tired of that these days. But new ground, I find, is where life is.
Yeah.
And even if means a lot in new ground, because even if I don't know what's going to happen, it doesn't really matter. I'm still going to move, and I'm still going to step into this new place and experience something I haven't experienced before.
Yeah, so if you do something new, if you sow that sowing and reaping concept, if you sow new seeds, there's actually that waiting period where you've got to wait for them to germinate. Like often in our instant society, we think, I'm going to do this, and it, you know, I expect to see results straight away.
Yeah.
But actually, you look at nature and you get an idea of actually how things operate. And you sow these new seeds, you do something different, and it's going to take time for you to see the outcome of that. And even when you do see new growth, that's not the fullness of it. You know, if you see a tomato plant come up, it's still quite some time before it gets to its full height, and then you start to see the flowers, and then the fruit starts to form. So, you know, if you're embarking on something and you're like, okay, I'm going to get brave, I'm going to step into the even if, don't be discouraged if you don't see change straight away. That's actually okay, and that's natural, and that's normal, and it will take time, and it might take even if and choosing to continue in that direction more than one day. Maybe it's every day you have to make a little step, make in that direction, and just wait to see at what point the seeds start to germinate, start to grow, and then eventually produce flowers and fruit.
Yeah, great, hey? Like, when we get stuck in the what if land, we used to call it the what if land. So it's a metaphor. Because what if can really make, when we use what if this and what if that, we can get really stuck. And there's nothing concrete about what if. It's all imagination. What if this happens? So it's all, nothing about it is real.
Yeah.
Until it is a what is. It's just a what if, you know.
Yeah.
And but we can get overthink what if. We can get caught up, and it can lead us to anxiety and all sorts of negative thinking. So there was a metaphor that, you know, counsellors would use, like the two lands, the what if land and the what is land. And in between the two lands there's a body of water. And basically you in the what is land is full of life, right? It's where everything's alive, it's what is.
Yeah.
It's what's real, it's what's true, it's life and it's abundant and it's full. And the what if land is barren. Because nothing produces there. There is no life in the what if.
Mm.
It's just this barren land of wonder and thought. There is nothing going to grow from it. You'll just continually keep asking yourself, well, what if this happens? And then you get caught in that almost concern-based or fear-based, and it will lead you into places where you just overthink things. And then we never move and do anything.
Yeah.
So it's nothing. It's not that the what-if land is a bad place. It's just that we can't camp there. We can't stay there, because if we stay there, we will become stagnant. We get caught up in the reasons why we would not do something.
Mm.
And so when we start to get into the place of, you know, everything is about, well, what if this happens, we become fear-based. So it's to see these two lands, the what is, which is what is real and what is around us, you know, everything life and life abundant, and then seeing yourself in the what if land and seeing yourself sitting there and on barren land, looking back on the what is, right? And it's about knowing that this is a not a nourishing place. So it's okay to be here, and it's okay to explore it.
Yeah.
But it's not okay to camp there and stay there. And you need to be able to physically get back to the what is land.
Yes.
And so in your mind, you physically either you build a bridge to the waters, or you have a boat and you get in your boat and you start paddling back into the waters land.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's just a metaphor to help you move. But it's one thing to move in our thinking, it's another thing to physically move.
Yeah.
And it's our physical movement that will cause a difference, a change. But we've got to start somewhere. We've got to almost like motivate ourselves to move, to even recognise we need to move from the what if to the what is.
Yeah. One thing I talked about in the blog was the concept of, if you're packing a bag to travel, you sort of, you might look at the weather forecast for where you're going and you think, well, what if it's going to be rainy? So those what if questions are really good preparation questions. So you actually prepare for what's ahead. So, you know, I might take a rain jacket. Or what if we go out for a nice dinner while we're there? Okay, well, I better take something appropriate for that.
Because what if it rains? Or what if it's windy?
What if it's really hot?
Yeah.
Should I be taking my togs? And so that what if place is like a preparation place, but it gets to the point where you've got to actually, well, you don't know how much space, whether you've got space in the boot. So how much space? You could take so much stuff. You think of what it's like when you're traveling with a little person, oh my goodness, and you've got the porta-cot and the high chair and there's just so much stuff. You've only got so much space in your or whether you're traveling on an aeroplane, you've only got so much weight that you're allowed on there. And so you've got the what if that you're planning, but then there comes a point where you've got to finish the what if and you've got to make do with what you've got. Okay, so now we're going to take what we've packed.
What is.
And into the what is, and whatever comes our way, we're going to make do with what we've prepared.
That's right, absolutely. And I think that will, even if it rains, we'll be okay.
Yes.
Even if it's windy and I don't have a coat, you know, we'll be okay. I mean, there's things that we can do to help ourselves in the even if.
Yes.
Hope I got that one right.
Yep.
What if, even if.
Well, we can be creative, and once we're in, like once we're there and we know what we've got in our luggage, now we've got to be creative with the resources that we have available. Mm. So there's a creativity that comes with it, even if. Yeah. The what if's good beforehand, but you don't want to be stuck there because you're never going to get in the car or whatever.
Well, it's just barren ground, anywhere. Isn't it? It's not gonna, nothing's going to grow there. It's full of questions and wonderings and concerns. And maybe some excitement, but not enough to motivate us to do anything.
Yeah.
You know, we have to come back to something that, that is real. And that's even if, you know, even that, even if that doesn't work, you know, or it's not that it's not going to work. My belief system might tell me it's not going to work. Doesn't mean it's not going to work. If we don't try the new ground, if we don't try something out, how are we ever going to know?
And it's not to say that you should try everything, because sometimes when you look at those what ifs, you go, actually, you know, think of surfing. It might be actually the conditions are such today that it would actually be unsafe to go out, and so I'm not going to. So you can actually, at that what if stage, you can make a call. Sometimes you go, actually, no, I don't think that that's the right call, and pull the plug at that point. But then when it is something and you go, actually, I'm going to go for it, then you go for it, even if something kind of pushes against you.
And I think that's where my faith is, right at the beginning. It was that what if. What if this and what if that. And, you know, there was a lot of different things that were set off for me in regards to, I don't know, maybe just how I saw the world around me, you know, that, that needed to soften. Needed to have more life involved in it rather than my tunnel vision that was happening from my experiences of life.
But you only knew your own experiences. It's not until you have these new opportunities come up or new ways of seeing things, and then you're like, oh, then it challenges the way that you've always thought.
Absolutely. And, I think that even if, you know, that was for me at the beginning of my faith, that was where I, even though this was uncomfortable or the ground was new ground and I wasn't used to it, it was a different place of standing.
Yeah.
But even though it was like that, I still kept going.
Even though some of the language is the same language but different meanings behind it.
Oh, my gosh, the language, I'm used to the language now, and I hear the language come out my own mouth sometimes, and I see people cringe a bit and going, what kind of language is that? You know, because I've been around Christians, and this language can become just normal. Like, oh, many blessings to you. I'll say that lots. You know, many blessings to you. And they're like, what do you mean, many blessings? Well, what's that? Or I might bring my hands together in prayer. And I don't know. It's just things that I do that are faith-driven. I don't know why I do them. I do. it's part of who I am now, but I know that for people who are, you know, new on their walk, you know, my language is unfamiliar to them, and I'm like, I was there. I know what that's like. It feels weird and awkward and strange, and what does that even mean? But language is so important, and we could do a whole show, and we will do a whole show on language. And how, the words that we use, we can either speak life or death. We've talked about that before in the language and how we use it. And, it's the emphasis we put on words. Everything has an impact, not just in the natural but in the spiritual. Just have to look at nature itself. If you put a plant in a bad environment, speak badly to it. There's so many studies around this. You know, the poor old plant won't survive. Of course not.
Yeah.
Put it in the environment where it's healthy and, it's got good words spoken into it. You have a healthy plant.
Wow. You think of that with kids home from school at the moment, massive. On school holidays, you know, even if they're playing up speaking
speaking life. Like, that's not an easy thing when you're a stressed parent, because we have all been there, and the language that comes out might not be so healthy all the time. You know, we've got to pull it back in. But I mean, that's a learning curve. Even if this costs me something, even if it costs my time to slow down and think before I say something,
even if I said something wrong, I can go back and say sorry, and I can speak life in that situation.
Yeah, that's one I did do with my boy. I never had a problem with apologising for my stupidness. I mean, I'd already had a couple of kids and brought up a few, and he was our last one, and I think I recognised by then that it was okay to say sorry, to own your own mistakes, and it was actually really, really healthy, and our relationship was so much better for it, because he could be honest with me, and there was never any sense of judgment in our honesty. It was just being honest, and let's go forward from there,
That's one of the good things about having boys. I have three boys, and I just noticed how they will deal with something and just move on.
Oh, no, it's fantastic. So good. Girls are great. Girls are fantastic, but we are more intricate.
But I needed boys. Like, I was a, moody, grudge-holding person, and having three boys to bring up was really, really healthy for me, because I learned what it was to just, okay, that happened. Deal with it, move on.
Yeah, it's a great learning curve for us. I've enjoyed that part of learning that, but we could have not learned it if we didn't want to. We could have pushed up against that and gone, no, you do what you're told and what I say all the time.
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Not going to work. Where are we going, Denise?
Well, let's go to some music, see what happens.
Indeed. Hare bontsaneng lerato, sekombaneng lotswana, sekombaneng lotswana, hare bontsaneng lerato. Think about it, there must be higher love, down in the heart of hidden sisters, but without it, life is wasted time. Look inside your heart and turn up to the summer.
Bring me a higher love. Santa Dagas, Ibe Mulder. Bring me a higher love. this on the back of my neck. It's when a cry becomes a laugh in the end. That achy clarity, it hurts, but it tastes so sweet. Cause nothing lasts forever, there's an end to the song. I try to keep myself together when the moment is gone. I feel like shutting it out and escaping to keep myself safe. But you say,
that's good advice for a beautiful day like today. Come out and play. Don't forget to play. It's so good and healthy for us. But we're going to start wrapping up the show. We've been talking about what ifs and even ifs and new ground. It may have been we've gone round and round the mulberry bush a little bit. But
With no strings attached.
Oh, giving with no strings attached. That was my favourite. It's my absolute favourite. If you're going to take anything away from today, give with no strings attached. It is the healthiest way to give. Jesus did it, and we're doing fine just because of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're doing good. But I thought I'd read this little bit out of your blog. It says, resilience can be developed when we find a way around an obstacle and accomplish our aim even if something challenges us on the way or it doesn't look like we thought it would. There is a strength that comes through opposition. That is why people use weights to gain muscle. The resistance of the weight develops strength. Now, I really like that because I'm a firm believer that, you know, new ground will develop strength in us. Anything that we do that is an action to develop something new in us is going to develop tenacity and strength. And I think that's a really, really healthy, we all need to grow, and this is a healthy way to grow.
Yeah.
New ground, trying new things out, not being afraid, you know, not making the what if stop us, but using the even if to push forward.
Yeah, and you can do it in small steps. It doesn't have to be some massive thing. You think when you go to the gym, how many times you haven't been to the gym for ages and you go and do a real hard workout and then
and
you're
it hurts.
Ah,
it hurts. Oh, my God, I'm dying. Yeah, that's what this all feels like on new ground. This is so true. That is a good example to take away. It hurts to rip our muscles and create new ones.
So it's gentle,
not
gentle.
Easy. I mean, it's easy to stay where we are and to have what we've always had.
Mm.
And we can continue to do that. But there'll be no sense of the even if there if we get stuck in what we've always done.
Yeah.
You know, the sense of adventure, the sense of newness, the sense of life and you know, experience all starts in the even if.
Mm. Mm. Yeah. No, it's good.
And we're going to leave it there, aren't we, Denise? So actually, no, I was going to head out with your little piece in here that says, even if things don't go to plan, have a blessed week. There's that
there's
beautiful
that language,
word.
Sorry.
And what does blessed mean? Well, I don't know. Tell me, what does blessed mean, Denise?
Well, a blessing was something that's, you can still do it now, but it used to be something positive spoken over a person. We were talking about releasing words of life a few weeks ago, and that's what a blessing is. It's to release life over a person, to speak goodness, to speak health over them. And so back in ancient times, it used to be something that parents sort of did. They released their children into to step up into the next generation just before they passed away. It was often when it happened, but there's also certain blessings that happen during just the rhythms of life, you know, blessing somebody at their birthday or blessing someone at a meal. Blessing the food, even just
still
being thankful.
Do that. Still do that one.
So yeah, it's a way of speaking life, not just for ourselves, but speaking life over somebody else. So have a blessed week is, you know, have a week that's that has some victories in it and
new ground.
Speaks life.
New experiences. Yeah, get amongst it. And if you want to join us on Sunday, 10 a.m. Raglan Area School, Surfside Church. I think Pastor Roger's speaking this week. Great worship, great company. Yeah, and, you know, what if, maybe even if, I see you there. I don't know. It would be cool. Either way, you have a blessed week.
have wealth. One day I'm gonna be somebody, yeah, I'm gonna better myself. Music, these metaphors, these stories, man, I'm fitting myself. Confidence like corny, next day just wanna get rid of myself. Voices, 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 you know you'll never make it. Voices, 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 man, you ain't real, you're faking. I better go to a big farmer, they gon' grind me up some pixie dust. Give me ticking 5 and